Let's open with hymn number 342. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us remission of sins. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you.
And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord said unto me, Write all the words that I have spoken unto thee into a book for a memorial. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. Be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Almighty God, who by thy blessed Son didst call Saint Matthew from the receipt of custom to be an apostle and evangelist, grant us grace to forsake all covetous desires and inordinate love of riches, and to follow the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The texts as printed in the bulletin are incorrect, unfortunately. The epistle for this day, St. Matthew, is found in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verses 7 to 14, reading as follows. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who ascended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the fullness of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Here ends the epistle lesson. How beautiful are the good tidings of him that publisheth peace, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Hallelujah. For this day is found in the 9th chapter of Matthew, the 9th through the 13th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, Follow me. So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in his house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We now confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing hymn number 279. Grace be unto you and peace in God our Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 9th chapter of Matthew, the 9th through the 13th verse. And as Jesus passed from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, "Follow me." And Matthew arose and followed Jesus. What could move a man like Matthew to do this? He was a Jew, but he was considered a traitor by most of his countrymen because he was employed by Rome and he took the hard-earned money from his own people and he passed it on to their imperial governors. Perhaps Matthew was an honest tax collector, although such men were almost unheard of, but were given no such impression. Since the respectable people of Judea didn't want anything to do with him, he made friends with people like himself, outcasts, traitors, notorious sinners of various sorts, such as the other tax collectors in the city. If one judges a man by the company he keeps, then certainly Matthew was no different than any other tax collector. But whether or not his notoriety was justified, it was then a notorious sinner that Jesus called with the words, "Follow me." Perhaps you'd like to know why Matthew was willing to forsake everything so quickly. Perhaps you would like to hear his story. I can't help you there, because the Bible does not tell us. It does, however, answer the question very well, how it is that Matthew would leave everything behind and follow another way, and follow Jesus. Romans 10:17 declares, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And Jesus explains in John 6 that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And so Matthew heard the word of God who said, "Follow me." And with that word, the Father drew him away from his life as a tax collector to follow Jesus. And more than follow him, he called Matthew to be an apostle. He called this, the most despised of sinners, to record the gospel of salvation for every generation. Matthew, while still in his sins and still this despised sinner, was made a blessed apostle, destined, as Jesus said, to sit on a throne in heaven with the other apostles, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now I want you to remember that the next time someone tries to tell you that in order for you to be saved, you must first ask Jesus into your heart or pray the prayer of faith, or that you must first make some public profession, because faith and salvation does not come that way. God does not make men great by changing their lives. He changes their lives after he makes them great. And he makes them great by forgiving their sins. He goes to the sick and he does not command that they heal themselves. He does not demand that the blind first get the sand out of their eyes before he heals their blindness. And so it was that Matthew did not seek out Jesus. Jesus came to him while he was still there in his sins and said, "Follow me." And Jesus did not tell Matthew, "First you must leave behind this sinful life in order to be worthy to be my disciple." He went to Matthew where he was, sitting in the tax office, this same Matthew, who keeps company with all the other tax collectors and sinners. And then Jesus sat down with his scurrilous bunch, and he ate with them. There is really only one thing that separated Matthew from the self-righteous Pharisees who kind of stood at the outside of the crowd looking in and ridiculing Jesus. Matthew knew what he was, and he didn't even try to hide it. He sat down at the table with all his sinful friends, all his fellow outcasts, because he knew that he was no different. A few weeks ago, we heard the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. There, too, we see the same distinction. The tax collector repented of his sins and asked for mercy. He knew what he was. All of these people who sat down at Matthew's table knew what they were. And that is why we find Jesus eating and drinking with well-known sinners, while the Pharisees and holy men stand off aloof and sneer at him. This, of course, was just simply not the proper thing for a teacher of Israel to do. And so they asked Jesus' disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" It was almost like they were saying, "Do you really want to follow around a man who has so little discrimination? If this is the crowd that Jesus hangs out with, then maybe he's not such a holy man after all." It is clear that these men are offended. Now, were they offended because Jesus was sitting with sinners? Perhaps that's what they made us think about, but that's not the real reason that they're offended. Was there something offensive about the way people ate? Were they eating forbidden foods? No, we're not told that at all. But there is indeed something special about sitting down and eating with someone. It means that you are willing to sit and deal with them as a friend. One would not sit down and eat this way with an enemy. For Jesus to eat with sinners showed that he was their friend. To eat with them was to show that he loved them and that he wanted to show them mercy. And there is the real offense, that Jesus would show mercy to sinners. And as usual, Jesus strikes at the heart of the matter in his response. He challenges the Pharisees to go back to God's word. Go read the prophet Hosea and learn what God means when he says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." What is mercy? Mercy is to show love to those who do not deserve it. It was mercy for Jesus to go to Matthew at the tax house and say, "Follow me." It was mercy for Jesus to sit with sinners and eat with them. It is mercy that God desires to show to all the children of men, because God does not want their death. He does not even desire those animal sacrifices which he required of Israel for their own sake. What good does it do to shed blood, to offer burnt offerings without mercy? God did not demand those things of Israel because he liked sacrifice, but because he wanted to show mercy. He wanted his people to come and confess their sins. He wanted them to seek his mercy and to declare his mercy to each other. That God is a God who forgives sins, and he never turns away a contrite heart. And so what does it mean for Jesus to be a friend to sinners? It does not, first of all, mean, of course, that he was committing sins with them. The Pharisees did not even accuse Jesus of engaging in the sins of these people. No, Jesus is a friend of sinners because he deals with them in mercy. They were offended because Jesus offered these sinners the grace and mercy of God without price, without cost, no demands, no works. He didn't demand they become pure first. He didn't demand a perfect adherence to the laws of sacrifices and washings and all such. He went to sinners and he sat down and ate with them and he ministered to their needs. He called them to repentance. He forgave their sins. For that is what it means when God shows mercy. It did not matter who they were or how greatly they had sinned. It did not matter that until now they had shown no inclination to hear God's word or to live a respectable life. Jesus went to them as they were, And he was their friend, and he was ready and willing to forgive their sins for no other reason than that they asked him to. And that is what the Pharisees find so offensive. And nothing has changed today. Today we come to the Lord's table. And every one of us who comes as a sinner. And in the Christian church, there are still many who take great offense at the supper where we feast not only with Jesus, but on Jesus. Is it because we confess and believe that we receive the body and blood of Jesus with our mouths that offends people so much? No, the greatest offense to them is that in the sacrament, Jesus comes to us sinners just as we are, and he shows us unconditional mercy. He forgives us our sins just as we are, simply because we believe that his body and his blood were given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. And he demands nothing. He simply says, take and eat. This is yours. I give it to you. You could not ascend to heaven to get to me. So I come to you. Here is my body. Here is my blood. This is for you, for your sins. Even today, there are too many Christians who stand back aloof and think that God's mercy has to first be earned, and that God just cannot offer the forgiveness of sins so freely unless we first do something to deserve it, make some motion toward him first. There's no forgiveness without repentance, they insist. And of course, that's true. But what is repentance? Repentance does not mean that you've reformed your life, and it does not mean that you've stopped being a sinner. And further, no one repents at all unless they know that God is merciful and will forgive them their sins. And so it is true that there is no forgiveness without repentance. But it is also true that there is no repentance without forgiveness. Jesus told the Pharisees, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so Jesus was there as their friend. But how does Jesus call them to repentance? Does he stand in the back like the Pharisees and call the people a bunch of filthy sinners? No, he calls them to repentance by showing them mercy, by showing them that he is a God who forgives sins. And so Jesus calls out to sinners, follow me. He calls you to repentance by showing you that he is merciful, even though you too are a notorious sinner. He comes to you as a friend, and he is ready and willing to forgive you all your sins, even though you have not and cannot do a single righteous deed on your own. And this is always how Jesus comes to us. When he was born of a virgin, when he lived a perfect life, when he was crucified and died for the sins of the world, he did not demand that men first change their hearts before he would offer himself and win the forgiveness of sins. He went to the cross to redeem even those who hated and despised him, right down to the people who cried out, crucify him, and those who nailed him to the cross. As they were crying out for his blood, he was showing them his mercy. Did Jesus not know what kind of people these were when he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do? He knew exactly what they were, and still he asked for mercy. The only thing that prevented them from having the mercy of God was that they did not want it. May God grant that each of you then desire his mercy, for you can be certain that you shall always have it. Jesus still calls to you, follow me. And he is sincere in that call. Just ask St. Matthew, who wrote down the first book of the New Testament. Tomorrow is his day, the day that the church remembers this man who was a sinner, despised by his own countrymen, whose only friends were notorious sinners just like himself and you and I. And yet out of such a sinner, God made an apostle and richly blessed all of us with his witness of the wonderful mercy and grace which God has shown us in his Son, Jesus Christ. May the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to call you to repentance all the days of your life, so that you too might be richly blessed and sit with Jesus at his table today and in the life to come. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O living God, in whose providence even the smallest creatures find their needs met, we draw near to thee, seeking the same for ourselves. We thank and praise thee for all thy goodness and mercy, but most earnestly do we glorify thee for the gift of thy Son Jesus, whom thou didst send to deliver us from the due reward of our transgressions, and by whose resurrection thou hast reserved for us the unfading crown of life. Grant unto us faith in thy power and goodness, that we may ever trust thee for all our daily needs, and fulfill the duties of each day without fear and anxiety for tomorrow, knowing that thou orderest all things according to thy word, and carest for all thy children. Bestow thy grace upon us so that we seek not the vanities of this world, nor the deceitfulness of riches, but ever set our hearts on the treasures of thy kingdom and to the righteousness which is by faith. Let thy word dwell in us richly so that in love we may assist one another in our trials and infirmities. Grant that we may especially be inclined to do good for the household of faith. Endow thy church with humility and compassion, that the love of Christ may shine upon the fallen, the wayward, and the heavy laden. Strengthen thy servants everywhere, that they may not grow weary in well-doing. Shed thy light upon the nations, that they might turn unto thee, and that all kindreds and peoples may worship thee. Bless our own land, that thy reverence and truth may prevail in government and in the halls of commerce, industry, research, and education. Through life's short day, bless our families. Be with them in sorrow or joy, sickness or health, disappointment or success, and preserve them with thy grace. Forgive us our sins, O Lord, and teach us that thou art a God who in righteousness and mercy rules the world and governs all men. And since we can do no good thing without thee, quicken us by thy Spirit so that we may remember the loving kindness which thou hast shown us in thy Son, and so perform works of faith, love, and hope, until we join the saints above in blessed, joyful, and abundant life, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. We sing hymn number 380. Augustana Lutheran Church observes the practice of closed communion, and that means that we ask those who are members of our congregations or congregations in fellowship with us to come forward at this time and commune, and we ask all else to refrain. To that end, let us continue with the liturgy on page 24. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
He
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, because thou didst mightily govern and protect thy holy Church, which the blessed apostles and evangelists instructed in thy divine and saving truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins.
Take and drink.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Now lest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared thee. Of all people.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn number 410. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.